Tell the Reverend Woman is the United States Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbath-Sunday Congregation. Now it's at the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is May 11th, 2023, or it is the 22nd day of Zip 2027. We will start our first service today with a song and then our prayer, and then we'll go into our regular service. Now we go into the sermon taken from Time of Greeting. It would be on Time of Greeting number 44, entitled Before and After the Earth is Made New. Okay, it's actually part two of that. We're on page. Okay, let's continue now. Before and after the earth is made new. We're on page number 9 of One Time of Greetings, number 44. And we're going to finish up this subject. And then it says Isaiah 65:20. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die an 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Concern the wicked in the earth made new, who came up in the second resurrection. Direction of the unjust, Revelation 20 verse 5. There shall be neither birth nor death among them for 100 years. Thus, the only children that shall be among them will be those who are raised from the dead. Consequently, both those who are old and those who are young will have lived 100 years from the resurrection of the unjust unto the second death. Thus, the child and the sinner becoming 100 years old in the earth, made new, shall both succumb in the end of the century. Then the righteous shall inhabit the whole earth. Isaiah 65:21-22. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Again we see that the hereafter is to be as real and as natural as was the Garden of Eden in the day it was created. So the message of the Elijah shall indeed restore all things, all that was lost through sin. In Isaiah 65:23, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Yeshua and their offspring with them. Much of our labor on this earth is done in the vain, and many of our sons and daughters are also born in vain. But in the earth made new, no one shall labor in vain, and nothing shall be brought forth for trouble. Isaiah 65:24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. For the answer for some of our prayers, we often wait long, and most of them are not answered as we want them to be. But in the earth made new, there shall be no delay and no disappointment. Isaiah 65:25. For the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like a bullock, and thus shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Yahshua. There shall be peace all around. We shall not see men quarreling, nor beasts fighting and eating one another. There shall be real and perfect peace among them all. If we could only realize what Yahweh has prepared for them that love to study His Word and to walk in His ever-increasing life, then we would make Yahweh's business our chief interest. Then we would no longer waste our energy striving for the material things of life. They will be added unto us while we diligently labor for the upbuilding of His kingdom. For He Himself said, the workman is worthy of his hire. Okay. This is the mighty Esau and the unpretentious Jacobs. One time agreeing, number 45. We are June the 14th, 1947. We are to study the 66th chapter of Isaiah. In this chapter, Yahshua speaks unto two groups of His servants, the servants up unto the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, to the judgment for the living, the purification of the church, testimony, volume 5, page 80. The time in which they are found are smiting their fellow servant, eating and drinking with the drunken. The other servants are the servants of thereafter to hear what Yahshua has to say to his former servants as the time of the cleansing approaches. We shall begin the study with the first two verses of the chapter, Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2. Thus saith Yahshua, for the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith Yahshua. But unto this man will I look, even unto him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. By saying, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool, Yahshua actually says that He has not forsaken the earth, that though His throne is in the heaven, His feet are still on the earth, that He is still interested in His people. But the question, where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? As the Saturday reveals that the work has been neglected, that neither a house nor a place of his rest has been prepared for him. But Yahshua's next statement further confirms this fact. For He reiterates that the things which He found for only those things which always were, and which his own hand, not the hand of his servants, have made. Then by the saying, but unto this man will I look, even unto him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit that trembleth at my word, he positively makes known that his unfaithfulness, that his unfaithful servants are discharged from his work, that others, poor and of a contrite spirit, who tremble at his word, have taken their places. That what the former servants have failed to do, the latter will do. At the same time, he charges the former servants that they feel rich in the spirit and in the need of the nothing more, that they do not fear his word. Hence the servants who are to build him a house and to make a place for his rest are to be men of a poor and of a contrite spirit, men who tremble at his word, men who are not proud and boastful, but who are teachable and mindful of his word, men who are penitent and see themselves in the need of everything instead of in the need of nothing. Finally, the Yeshua angrily declares, Isaiah 66, 3 and 4, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered the swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yes, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. Also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. No matter how good or how important the sacrifices may be, so long as we serve him in our own way, our gifts and sacrifices are an abomination unto him. Man's own ways must be abandoned, even though it be the hardest task to face, if he is to make peace with the Yahweh. There is no question but that the Yahweh has now sent this warning message unto his unfaithful, self-important servant, though they do not and will not hear. Having said what he wished to say unto them, he now turns to his newly hired servant. Now Isaiah 66:5-6. Hear the word of Yahweh, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, that chased you out for my name's sake, said, let the Yeshua be glorified, that he shall appear under your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of the noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Yeshua that rendereth recompense unto his enemies. Come. Some have already had the experience of being carried bodily out of the churches for no other reason than for having read the shepherd's rod and for having said, I believe what it says. It is incredible that men should act like demons. It is nevertheless so, and the Yahweh himself testifies against their demon practice. We do not pity ourselves and are not at all angry at our adversary, but we are sorry about their spiritual blindness and misery, poverty and nakedness, for we know that the coming joy is to be ours, and the sorrow and shame and gnash of the teeth theirs. This we know as verily as Jacob knew that Yahweh was with him in his flight from the face of Esau. Okay, for the Esau of today, they do not know this. No, they do not know it any more than Esau of old knew of the Jacob's night vision of the ladder that extended from heaven unto the Jacob's dew-soaked bed. Any part of the Bible is become present truth, Isaiah 66:5. Certainly is consequently from this city there is a noise, and there is a voice from the temple against us, but the voice of the Yahshua, the message of today, is what counts and what settles all things. Are you afraid of being cast out? Or are you trembling at the Yahweh's word? Now you have to make your choice against opposition if you expect to be in the kingdom eternal. Isaiah 6:7. Before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. For a woman to be delivered of a child before she travails and before her pain comes is an incredible thing, a miracle. And that is just what happened to the church when the Yahshua was born in the manger of Bethlehem. For the church knew not her visitation, and though she felt no need of a Savior, travailed not, yet she brought forth the child. But according unto the verse that followed, the church in this day shall experience even a greater miracle than did the church in the Yahshua's day. Isaiah 66:8. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. The church is now filled with tares, with bad fish, and with goats. It is hard to find the saints. She is nevertheless all at once to bring a multitude of the converts which no man can number. For the denomination does not believe this, no, no more than the Jews believe that the Savior was born in the manger, nor any more than did they expect the fishermen of Galilee to take the places of the pious priests and of the exalted religious leaders of that day, and no more than did they expect the Gentiles to share in the promises of Israel. Okay, for the denomination of today, too, thinks that tomorrow is to be as today, that the Yahshua has left men forever to do as they please. She does not know that Yahshua is taking the reins in his own hands. Testimonies, the minister's page 300. for she still thinks that she is rich and increased with the goods, truth, and has need of nothing more. For the Seventh-day Adventist Church will nevertheless see all the promises fulfilled, for she will see that these scriptures are not in the Bible merely to fill space. As soon as she thus travails and feels her need, just that soon will her course be filled with the saints and her work finished. Isaiah 6:9, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? Saith Yahshua, shall I cause it to bring forth and shut the womb, saith Yahweh? Would the Yahshua have made these promises if he were not able to fulfill them? This is the great question before you, before me. And would he start something if he cannot perform and finish? You must not lightly pass over these questions, for your answers will decide your destiny. Isaiah 6:10-14. Rejoice, ye with Jerusalem, and be ye glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that you may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Yahshua, behold, I will extend peace unto her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees, as one whom his mother comforteth. So will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of Yahshua shall be known toward his servant, and his indignation toward his enemies. Here we are told that only those who mourn for the Jerusalem, those who pray for the establishment of his Antipas throne of David and kingdom, are rejoiced with her. Then only they will profit from the abundance of her glory. None others will share her peace and her abundant glory. None others will be dandled upon her knees, for the sinners shall not be comforted in Jerusalem, and the lukewarmness will become red hot and put them running to the hills and to the rocks of the mountains. Revelation 6:14-17. Isaiah 66:15-17. For behold, the Yahshua will come with the fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with the fury, and his rebuke with the flames of fire. For by the fire and by his sword will the Yahshua plead with all flesh. and the slain of the Yashur shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens, in the gardens behind the one tree, in the midst eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouth shall be consumed together, saith the Yahshua. After Yahweh has done all he can to do to direct the path of his servants, when there is no more remedy, just then divine retribution is to be meted out. Those who continue to walk in their own way will then find themselves in the wide path where there is no divine mercy, where the avenger of the justice takes his toll. They are those who sanctify and purify themselves in the garden, behind the one tree, behind the leader. That is, they pretend to be very religious in their gathering places, trusting that the minister will lead them through to the kingdom. They indulge in the use of the forbidden meats, and at the same time boastingly pretend to be sanctified and purified. To the Yashua, however, they appear as whitewashed sepulchres, full of the rotten flesh, as cups that are clean on the outside but filthy on the inside. Isaiah 6:18-19. For I know their works and their thoughts. They shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory, and I will set a sign among them. Then I will send those that escape of them unto the nation, under Tarshish pull and lead, that draw the bow to Tubal and Avan, unto the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. What the Yashua is about to do is not to be done in a secret. It is not on the imaginary thing, not something enshrouded in the mystery to be guessed at, but it is a plan and plain and open act before all the nations. Now, to their own destruction, men argue that this is a spiritual slaughter. What is a spiritual slaughter? No one knows. Although it is plain to see that it is a judgment for the living, the fact that for over a century the denomination has been teaching that the judgment for the dead is to separate the good from the bad, the tares from the wheat. Their foolish arguments are now prove that they are not only ignorant of it, but even so blind, Revelation 3:17, that even after told and shown what it is, they cannot see it, although they claim to know that the judgment is for the separating of the wheat from the tares, with the good from the bad. It is for the cleansing of the sanctuary, by the blotting out of the names of the bad and the sins of the good, they do not admit that this strange act of Yahweh is nothing less than the judgment for the living in the house of the Yahweh. 1 Peter 4:17. For the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, the purification of the church, Testimonies Volume 3, 5, page 80. The cleansing of the temple, Malachi 3:1-3. No longer try to console yourself that the slaughter of the Yahshua is something imaginary, or that it takes place after the close of the probation. Now get ready, lest you fall, that no man divert your attention from it. For the verse we just read explains that those who escape the Yahshua's sword will he send unto the Gentiles, unto those who have not heard his fame nor seen his glory, and they shall declare his glory among the Gentiles. They shall bring unto the house of Yahshua all who will be saved. Here let us read the Yahshua's exact words, Isaiah 66:20-21. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto Yahshua out of all nations, upon horses, and in the chariots, and in the litters, and upon the mules, and upon the swift beasts of my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith the Yahshua, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Yahweh. And I will also take of them for the priests and for Levites, saith the Yahshua. Now, in the view of the fact that those who escape the slaughter of the Yahshua are sent as a missionary, preachers and ministers unto all the nations and peoples who as yet know not Yahweh and his truth of the plan of salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews 10. There is but this conclusion, that the slaughter takes place only among Yahweh's people, that it is a judgment for the living in the house of the Yahweh, the Seventh Day Adventist Church, 1 Peter 4:17. That started at the Division Seventh-day Adventist that I was a member of, at Gilead Center in Kermit, Texas, from 1970 to 2003. Started with Brother Debbie Johnson, the head prophet of the Gilead Center, third feeding pastor for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And he was in charge of the seventh candlestick, letter C, Revelation 3:14-17. The shepherds are slain because they have kept the sheep away from the Yahshua. Green pasture, and Brother Johnson, he kept us away from the shepherd's rod teachings of B.T. Hollis to a great extent. Present truth, that the faithful laity take their places, that then the church bring as the sun, fair as the moon, and terrible as an army with a banner, goes forth into all the world, conquering and to conquer. Thus is the plan of the salvation of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, the work finished, and the wicked world brought unto an end. Only those who have withstood temptation and the strength of the mighty one, will be permitted to act as a part in the proclaiming of the third angel's message when it shall have swelled into the loud cry that is printed in Review in Hell, November 19, 1908. We have been inclined to think that where there are no faithful ministers, there can be no true apostolic, antitypical apostolic believers in the sanctuary system that has been restored, that is restored by Yahweh's prophet here in the last days to the Adventist church. But this is not the case. Yahweh has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. Yahweh has never made the flock wholly dependent upon the human instrumentality. But the days of purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church are hastening on apace. But Yahweh will have a people pure and true, and a mighty shifting soon to take place. We shall be better able to measure the strength of the Israel. For the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yeshua will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80. Isaiah 66:22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Yahshua, so shall your seed and your name remain. But this verse, inspiration now begins for the disclosing of the things that take place and the earth made new. Isaiah 66:23. And it shall come to pass that from one a new moon unto another, and from one Sabbath unto another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Yahshua. For the Sabbath, you see, is as eternal as the earth. It is to be kept not only now, but even after this sin-cursed earth is made new. And not only now are the Yahweh's people to meet together in the house of the Yeshua, he said it, that they shall joyfully continue to do so throughout eternity, Isaiah 66:24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be and horn unto all flesh. Although the preceding verses of this chapter are not studied much by any, the last two have often been discussed and debated upon by the many. Under some, they mean that there is to be an eternal torment. But does the scriptures at all sustain such a thought? No, it does not. For the definition of the carcasses is lifeless bodies. And the prophet Malachi says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be a stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Yahshua the host. It shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of the Righteousness arise at the healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as the tares of the stalk. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith Yahshua of the host. Malachi 4:1-3. For the carcasses at first, and the ashes at last, of the unfaithful servant, being under the feet of the saints, can hardly indicate that the unfaithful are pushed into hell fire there to live forever. Moreover, since only the righteous are given eternal life, then the wicked must be given eternal death. Furthermore, second death, Revelation 20:14, cannot mean second life. For the theory of the eternal torment has been superficially derived from the statement, their worm shall not die. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's read that again. For the theory of the eternal torment has been superficially derived from the statement, their worm shall not die. Their worm that gorges on their carcasses, though cannot possibly mean the souls of the people. At least it cannot mean such to him who digs deep into the well of the salvation, and that can think and reason for himself. Such a one reads between the lines and knows the full value of each word. If worm name means anything, then it means that the worm thrives on the carcasses, that it is the agency that reduces the constituents of the carcasses unto their original elements. Indeed, their worm shall not die. They shall certainly accomplish its consuming work. The carcasses shall he bring down to dust. For dust thou art, says the scripture, and unto dust shalt thou return. Genesis 3:19. It is this disintegrating agency, the consuming worm, that does not die. Moreover, we are told that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18:4. It is plainly seen that the preaching of the eternal suffering and the hell fire rather than the eternal death is prompted by the unscrupulous so-called soul winners. It says, endeavoring for the driving of their audiences into the church by the fright, that if they knew that only the born again through the love of the truth are given the right to enter into the holy city, if they knew that those who must be frightened and are excluded from it, if they knew that anything which maketh a lie is also not given the right for the entering therein, if they wholeheartedly knew all these, they would perhaps stop preaching eternal life in the hell fire and begin to preach eternal love of the truth. Let us now close our study by the reading of the Yahshua's final plea. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Yahshua doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master hath made the ruler over his household, to give them meat in the due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Really, I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Yahshua delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant, and to eat and drink with the drunken, Yahshua that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Matthew 24:42-51. There is but one right choice for you to make, and that is to cease keeping company with the mighty Esau and to join the unpretentious, truth-laden Jacob. That brings us to the end of one-time greetings number 45 of Beit Yehudah, Esau and the Jacobites. We're going to continue on with number 46, time greetings, volume 1. And the text of address is the servants of Yahweh and the gathering time. June 21st, 1947, Beit Yehudah. One time of greeting, number 46. It says, we ought to study the 49th chapter of Isaiah. This chapter points out the service of Yahweh and the gathering time, their racial lineage, and their need for the territorial expansion. We shall begin the study with the first three verses, Isaiah 49:1-3. Listen, O owls, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. For the Yahshua hath told me from the womb, on the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword in the shadow of his hand, hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft in his quiver, hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Now, Yahweh named Isaiah. He said, you're my servant, and your name is also Israel. And that's the name of all of the Hebrew Israelites that are born again, become perfect, they get a new identity. They're all identified as Israelites. For the spirit of the Yahweh and the person of the Israel through the prophet Isaiah declares that Israel was born for no other reason than to be Yahweh's servant, and urges that this fact must now be made known throughout the world, even unto the isles of the sea. As Jacob himself was dead long before Isaiah the prophet wrote, the truth clearly stands out that the Spirit of Yahweh in this scripture speaks not personally unto Jacob himself, but unto his descendants unto those unto whom this truth is made known and who now bear the responsibility to broadcast it far and wide, plainly then, the people in whom the Yeshua is to be glorified, and who again brings Jacob unto him, Isaiah 49, 3 and 5, are themselves too to be made known internationally. They are those who finished the gospel work, the very last. Unto them the Yeshua gives a mouth as sharp as a sword. These are to be his servants during the gathering of the people, the day in which the Yeshua is glorified. They're being hid, as it were, in his quiver, connotes that they're coming into the limelight, is to be a complete surprise unto all. For the first time, the world is to learn that these servants of Yahweh are the tail end of the Jacob's descendants, his hidden servants, those who are to gather his people, even from the isles of the sea. Again, it is written, in the last solemn work, few great men will be engaged. They are self-sufficient, independent of Yahweh, and he cannot use them. For Yahweh has a faithful servant who, in the shaking, testing time, will be disclosed to you. They are precious ones now hidden, who have not bowed the knee to Baal. They have not had the light that has been shining in a concentrated blaze upon you, but it may be under a rough and uninviting exterior that the pure brightness of a genuine character will be revealed. Testimonies, Volume 5, 80-81. Isaiah 49:4. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Yeshua, and my work with my Yeshua. At the outset of their labor, the results must be such as for the bringing almost a complete discouragement. For they nevertheless know that they are appointed by the Yahweh, and so they leave their judgment, their work, and success with him. Isaiah 49:5. And now saith Yeshua, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again unto him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of Yeshua, and my Yeshua shall be my strength. For their encouragement, they are told that even though Jacob be not gathered, he will however be gathered, yet they shall be glorified in the eyes of Yeshua, and the Yeshua shall be their strength, and their Redeemer, and their King, and their Savior, and all of that, Emancipator. Since they are now, not at another time, but in the day this prophecy is fulfilled, called for the bringing Jacob unto the Yeshua again, it showed that the Jacob, as the people of the Yahweh in their Jacobite state, must have departed from the Yeshua. Now they must be brought back unto him by a mighty revival and reformation. And revival and reformation only takes place at the beginning of each new movement, and Israel only has five movements designated for her work in the earth by the time she came out of Egypt with Moses. The first movement, 1500 B.C. Second movement was Yeshua with the apostles at the cross. Third movement was with William Miller in 1833, 2300 year prophecy. The fourth movement was with the Seventh-day Adventists in 1844, and the fifth movement is with the Tabernacle of David, the Now it's not the 12th hour with Elijah David, starting in 2003, actually. Isaiah 49:6. And he said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, for the raising up of the tribe of Jacob, and for the restoring of the preserved of the Israel. I will also give thee for a light unto the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." This scripture had as its type the time when the apostles were finally instructed for the preaching of the plan of the salvation, the brother everlasting covenant of the Yahshua in Hebrews chapter 10, unto the Gentiles as well as unto the Jews. Now, for the raising up of the tribes of Jacob is first to raise up the first fruits, 144,000. 12,000 out of each tribe of Israel. Moreover, to be a light and a salvation unto the ends of the earth means that these latter-day servants of Yahweh are to finish the salvation work of the brother everlasting covenant, are to preach the plan of the salvation of the everlasting covenant of the kingdom and all of the world for a witness unto all nations, and thus bring the end. Matthew 24:14. It is our purpose, therefore, not only for the bringing of the light of Yahweh unto the denomination where the first fruits, the 144,000 out of the Adventist Church, Revelation 14:4, of the great spiritual harvest are, but even for the bringing of the same light unto the second fruits, the Gentiles, unto the great multitude that are gathered out of all nations, a multitude which no man can number, Revelation 7:9. Those who are thus privileged are, as Yahweh himself testified, the descendants of the Jacob, the lost tribes of the Israel, who are now coming into the light. Isaiah 49:7. Thus saith Yahshua, as the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One. So Yahshua's Holy One then would be an typical Elijah David, his appointed servant next to him. That's in Jeremiah 23:5. "I will raise unto David a righteous branch, to him whom man despises, and to him whom the nation abhorreth, unto a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Yahshua that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee." Let's do it again. He says, "as the Holy One of Israel." I said, "and the Holy One." He says, "shall worship because of the Yahshua that is faithful, and as the Holy One of Israel. And he shall choose thee." Who's this thee? The house of David, the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver. Genesis 49:10. "A scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until the Shiloh comes, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." For the Yahshua is here saying, to speak unto a people whom men despise, unto them whom the nation abhors, unto servants of rulers, unto laymen, and not to denominationally recognized ministry. For this servant of the Yahshua, as the scriptures make clear, is despised and abhorred as much as was the Yahshua himself. So this servant be Elijah David. That's who I am. That's who Yahweh has appointed me. I didn't ask for it. I didn't even know that I was qualified for it until it all happened. For the hate then that is heaped upon us by our letters and brethren must not be a discouragement unto us, but rather a great encouragement. And why? Because the Spirit of Yahshua himself testifies that we are the servants of the Yahweh for this time, that he is to bless our work so much so that even kings shall see our rising, and princes also shall come and worship. Isaiah 49:8. Thus saith Yahshua, "In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of the salvation have I helped thee. and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for the establishing of the earth, for the causing of the inherit of the desolate heritages. Yahweh has heard us in the probationary time here in the last parabolic hour, the 12th hour that we're in now, since 2003, a time in which we can be sealed and be preserved for a covenant of the people, for the establishing of the earth, for the inheriting of the desolate heritages, for the restoring of all things. This brings in verse 50 hour contacts. This is the 11th hour calling. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.